Let's just go ahead and continue where we left off last time. We're teaching about vision, and you know, there's so much to learn about vision. I'm not pretending that if you hear my course, you've heard everything you need to know. There's all kind of books. There's no way for me to teach in just 9 short hours everything that I could say or anything that can be said. And so what I'm trying to do is just really just try to hit this from a different angle to make it more personable, not just theoretical. You know, somehow, I don't know about you, but I like to, when I hear someone minister, I like to be able to see myself being able to do something. See myself being able to grab a hold of what they're talking about and not just something that's theory, so to speak, but something that someone's walked through. And so we were talking about last Wednesday, I believe it was, that we need to be the prophet of our own lives. And there's all different kind of teachings on this. I don't, you know, and this is not from me reading books. This is what I've seen happen in my own life. And, you know, I've never read the book, any Charles Capps books. I've never read any of those things. And so I'm not saying that those are bad books. Read them. I mean, get them. That's more information. I'm just saying that I'm not just preaching something that sounded like a good idea and I just incorporated it. This is something that I've seen happen and seen work, and you probably have as well. That for you to walk in what God wants for you to walk in, you have to become the prophet of your own life. So many times we're waiting for someone else to give us a word, aren't we? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I've waited and never got one. And other times when I wasn't expecting it, I got one. And you know what I've discovered? Their words, really, a word that was given to me, even if it was from God, does not do more for me than what I get from God myself. What I get from God myself is more powerful than what I can get from anyone else. You know why? Because you know and you've heard from God. You know, when someone else gives you a word, how do you know? I mean, it could be accurate, could be good, but it's not as powerful as when God speaks to your heart and you know what He's telling you. Amen? And so we have to come into agreement with what God is telling us, and then we have to come into agreement not with just believing it with our minds, but when we get to the place where it's in our heart to where it's coming out of our mouth, that is when great power is released. See, a lot of people talk about the power of confession, and they confess something 500, 600 times, and it doesn't work. And then they get all upset, and they get all bummed out, and it just doesn't work. And you know what? They're right. It doesn't work. There's no power. Listen to me. I'm trying to be careful here because I don't want to, you know, hopefully you understand the angle I'm hitting. Not even step on your toes, but, you know, we all have our own experiences. How many of you discovered that, right? And we all have something that when we teach, one thing I've discovered is this. We can sit down and learn all the knowledge that Andrew has, but we will not get the character that Andrew has by listening to him. How many know what I'm talking about? I can listen to Andrew and get great teaching. And so I can go out of here thinking I know as much as Andrew, but guess what? It may not work for me the same, because what produced that in Andrew's life is his relationship with God, and he cannot impart relationship. And I've discovered that everything in the Christian life really works based on our relationship with God, everything. If there's no relationship with God, then there's a real hindrance to seeing the promises of God come to pass, because God is a personable God. He's not a vending machine God. And so if you will confess this 500 times and then it will happen, it's just the same as putting your dollar in the vending machine and pulling the lever. And that's why people, if it's not a personal word, your confession means nothing. Because what comes out of our mouth in the season and in the atmosphere of what we really believe, when that's what's coming out of our mouth, that is what we get. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We can confess when we're in our time of confessing. Okay, right now I'm going to go through my index cards, and I'm going to confess these. Okay, now I'm done with that. Everyone understand what I'm talking about? There's no power in that, folks, until you believe it. When it's become a living word unto you, and then that is what has penetrated your heart, and that is what is coming out of your mouth, that is when power is released. You know, someone said that Elvis Presley used to always claim that he was going to die before he was 50 or something like that. Can't remember exactly. But that was what consistently came out of his mouth. That's what he really believed. Guess what? It happened. It wasn't because one day he just, I feel like dying before I'm 50, and that was it. No, it wasn't one time. That's what he really believed. And that's what came out of his mouth on a consistent basis. And so we've talked about what is it that comes out of your mouth when you're all alone, when you're with your mate. That is what really shows what's in your heart usually, because when you're with your mate, if you're married. Not when you're with your fiance necessarily, because up until the time you get married, there's still a chance that it won't happen. So you're on your best behavior, trying to portray your best side as much as possible. Now, as you get a prolonged relationship, you can start to see some things, yes, but you won't know everything you got until you've gotten married, you know? Hopefully in the Christian life, you won't. There are certain things you shouldn't know about someone until you get married. I don't think I need to go any further than that, but you should not know what their breath smells like in the morning until after you got married. And so there's this little joke to give you a little idea of what I'm talking about. A little joke. There's this guy, he was in church, and there was this praise and worship leader, and she was just absolutely beautiful, he thought. Man, every time she worshiped the Lord, he could just see the glory of God all over her. And man, he just fell in love with her. So after one church, when they had a little potluck dinner, pot faith, whatever you call it, they got together, pot blessing, and all those little phrases we think that we say that make something happen. And so he meets her at a pot blessing, and they start to talk, and actually it was a blessing for him. So they start to talk, and they kind of had a little spark there, so they got married, and every Sunday, his favorite thing was to watch her sing. I mean, every Sunday, she's up there worshiping God, and he's like, oh, man. So they get married, and the very next day, he wakes up, and he looks over at her, and all of her hair's a mess, and now this is not picking on women. The men are just the same. Her hair is a mess. Her makeup's rubbed off. Her breath don't smell so good. And he says, sing, woman, sing. Amen. So why'd I tell that? I don't know. But when you get married, there's no more pretense when it's just you and your mate. Okay? I don't know. I think all marriages are pretty much the same. What's really on your heart comes out, you know? And it's a shame, but sometimes we treat strangers better than we treat our own family, our own mates, you know? Sometimes if we're over visiting someone and they fix something that's not so good, we eat it anyway. But if our wife fixes something that's not so good, this is terrible, you know? I know most men don't do that. Anyway, that's why the Apostle Paul said, meditate on these things. Some of you say, what does that have to do with vision? It has everything to do with vision. It has everything to do with your life, your Christian life. It has everything to do with your ministry. It has everything to do with your relationship with God. If what's coming out of your mouth is negative, when you're not around other people, it's demonstrating to you, to God, and to the kingdom of darkness what you're really hooked up to. And so that's a good indication that your relationship is not where it needs to be with God. Now, I'm not teaching at you or preaching at you, I'm teaching with you, because we're all humans, and we can all go through seasons in our life that we have to make sure that we are remaining hooked up to the right receiver. You are hooked up to some receiver, okay? And so you want to be hooked up to the right receiver. And so when we seek God with our whole heart, it's because we chose to. Nobody ever meditated on the things of God and had a relationship with God by accident. Enoch did not just have some special something that we don't have. They want to understand what I'm talking about. In America, and I kind of said this, but in America, we are so goal-oriented and schedule-oriented that if we don't feel like we're accomplishing something or have accomplished something, it discourages us. But in the Bible, when you see people that had a strong relationship with God, they did not treat their relationship with God that way. They gave God time to speak. And I'm sorry, but God doesn't always speak right in our time frame. And let me explain why. If he speaks within our time frame, then are we really concerned with him? Now, God's always transmitting his love, his peace, his joy. If you're not having joy, it's not because God's not transmitting it. It's because you stopped receiving it. I don't need to teach that. You know that. I learned that from Andrew myself. So you've learned that yourself. Amen? Get the four keys to staying full of God in case you don't have that understanding. It's a great book. It may not be the most popular of Andrew's books, but it's really powerful. But there's a time when I saw Abraham's life, and I'm teaching this from my own perspective. If you're already beyond this, fine, great. But I personally have some trouble with idle time. I start to feel guilty if I feel like I'm not accomplishing something. How many of you, huh? So what happens if you spent 4 hours in the presence of God, but you didn't feel like you heard any clear direction? Do you get discouraged? Sometimes I do. But I'm starting to learn that that is not wasted time, even if it seems like you didn't get anything. When you are sowing to the Spirit, we talked about sowing to the Spirit, Galatians chapter 6, right? When you are sowing to the Spirit, you generally are not going to receive the reward while you're sowing. If you're seeking God and God starts to speak to you, it may have been the manifestation or the harvest of a previous sowing time, not the current sowing time. So if you would get that in your mind, that when you're sowing to the Spirit and you're seeking God, but it seems like you're not receiving, you're not hearing, look at it as I'm sowing, I'm sowing, I'm sowing. You know, you may watch a bad movie and you may not reap all at that once. But I discovered this, and God revealed this to me, and it really helped me, that relationship with God is not difficult. Sometimes the devil tells us you're not doing it right, or else you'd already know, you whatever, 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 whatever. And the whole goal is to get us to become discouraged or to get us into works. You already have a relationship with God. You're not trying to get a relationship with God. That freed me when God told me that. You already have one. You're my child. You're not trying to get one. See, sometimes we're trying to get something and it always eludes us. You've already got it, right? It just depends on what type of relationship, how dynamic, how close, how personal. But you have one. See, I'm related to my father. I have a relationship with my father, right? I have a relationship with my mother. I have a relationship with my wife because we're married. But the potential of what type of relationship depends on how much time we spend together and how much we understand each other and all those types of things. But we already have a relationship. I don't know if that helps you, but it helped me. And so if we're going to have a relationship with God, if we're going to seek God, if we're going to hear God, we're going to do so on purpose, not by accident. It's not just going to happen. If you let life just happen, what you don't want to happen will happen. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. If we're passive in life and just going down the road and we're just reacting, that's not the way God intended us to be. If we're going to hear God, it's because we did it on purpose. We are the ones who choose whether or not we hear God, not God. So it's very important that for us to pay attention to what's coming out of our mouth, that it is in agreement with what God is saying about our life. And over in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." Now, we all know that. We know that verse. So if what's coming out of our mouth is negative, and I just don't think it's going to work out, I just don't think I'm ever going to hear God, I just don't know if I'm ever going to move into the things that God has, is this all there is? Am I on the back burner? Am I this? Whatever, whatever. All these different thoughts that may come to our mind. If that's what's coming out of our mouth instead of what God is saying, we need to check out what we're hooking up to. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Meditate on these things. Why do you think the Apostle Paul told us that? Why do you think the Apostle Paul got that revelation? He's in jail while he's writing this. It'd be very easy for Paul to say, I just don't know what's going on. I do what God tells me, and this is what happens to me. I'm in jail. Man, did I do something wrong? Is this why I'm here? Am I hurting people? And God's gotten me out of the way? You know, all these thoughts can come to your head. Paul said, no. And not only that, but they had other apostles teaching that if you have enough faith and if you believe God, the devil can't touch you. Have you ever heard that teaching? That's false. If that is your doctrine, you're going to have a miserable life because you will never get to the place where you have so much faith and your relationship with God is where it needs to be, to where you'll never, ever have anything come against you. Now, the devil may not be able to touch you, may not be able to affect you and get you discouraged, but guess what? He will affect others around you. People that you love, something will happen. It'll discourage you. People that you love will attack you, betray you. How many of you know Jesus was betrayed by someone within his 12? And so the devil, he doesn't give up. He's a ruthless devil. He's a very faithful, faithful devil in the sense that he never gives up. He actually thinks he can win. He's the master of deception. He's the one who's the source of deception. So to be the source of deception, you must yourself be deceived. So he actually thinks that he can win. He does. You have to continuously remind him. He has a bad memory. And so it's a kingdom principle. What's coming out of your mouth is what your heart is filled with. If your heart is filled with fear, fear is going to come out. It may not come out in front of other believers, but it will come out whether you're by yourself or whether you're by someone else. And I think I told the story one time how a bill came in when I first started CBC and a bill came in and another bill came in and I didn't have money. And you know, it's kind of scary when bills come but you don't have money. And I also discovered that just because you don't have money doesn't mean that the bill collector stopped sending them. And so this thought came to my mind, oh no, what are you going to do? Did I tell the story? Had this thought, oh no, what are you going to do? And it sounded just like me. But there's only one problem. I don't think in second person. It said, oh no, what are you going to do? So I knew it was the devil, but it sounded like me. And so I got excited, folks. I jumped up and I said, devil, if that was my thought, I would have said, oh no, what am I going to do? You messed up. You know, sometimes the devil messes up. He does. I heard a guy one time, he's laying in his bed and he's in an apartment complex and he's laying in his bed waiting to go to sleep. And he had this thought, I am a lesbian. He said, devil, you got the wrong apartment. He was a Christian. Seriously. The devil will give you a thought for you to embrace, for you to confess it out of your mouth. You have to come into agreement with whatever's talking to you is telling you. Until you come into agreement with it, there's no power. I watched one time a show, I can't remember, one of those intervention shows. And it was this one guy, he grew up a Mormon, and he became a homosexual and into drugs. Really, his life became a mess. And while he was living in Utah and doing everything, he was resisting the whole thing. He got to L.A. and started living wild, and he met this other homosexual. And the homosexual said, you need to just quit denying. You need to say with your mouth, I'm a homosexual. Listen, folks. And the guy said, I'm watching the show. This is not a Christian show. And he said, and I said, I'm a homosexual. And that's when I gave into it. That's when it took over my life. I was like, my Lord, they are preaching the Bible. Don't even know it. Folks, the devil is after you agreeing with him, and God wants you to agree with him. The devil will disguise himself, make you think that it's you. God does not disguise himself. He doesn't need to. He's not going to. The devil doesn't care who you give credit to his deceptions. You can give credit to God himself. The devil won't say, no, no, that was mine. Actually, he'd be happy if you think it's God. You can call the devil Allah. You can call him Jesus if you're a Jehovah's Witness. He doesn't care. You can serve the devil on accident, but you cannot serve God on accident. Does this make sense? And so we're not talking about pretending. This is not magic. Well, I'll just fix what's coming out of my mouth. Yes, that's part of it, but fix what's in your heart. And we're not talking about being born again or not born again. I think you understand what I'm talking about. What are you meditating on? We as believers can be meditating on all the wrong things. We're born again. We're saved, but we're getting all the wrong results. So I remember when that happened to me, when the devil came to me and told me, you're not going to make it. I said, thank you, devil. You are the source of all lies. The Bible says so. And if you said I'm not going to make it, it's because I'm going to make it. You need to respond to the devil sometimes. Oh, man, I moved to Colorado. I spent 2 years here. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Man, I wasted these 2 years. Say, devil, thank you. You just told me that. I know that if you saying I wasted my time, it's because I didn't waste my time. Thank you for encouraging me. You know, the devil can't handle when you thank him. Man, wait a minute. I was supposed to discourage you, and I ended up encouraging you. Talk about confuse the devil. He's the author of confusion. Talk about confusion. He'll get confused in a real quick. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when things seem difficult, and a month later, you look back on what the big problem was, and you got past it, and sometimes you don't even remember what the problem really was. Many times when we're faced with this month's challenges, we forget last month's answers. Amen. If God brought you through last month, he'll bring you through this month. I remember one time when we first moved into our new brand new apartment, right after we got married, I'd burned my hand. You might see a little scar here. I burned my hand on 500-degree hot tar, so I was out of work, had no money, and we had to move. I was living in a house with men, and she was living in an apartment with women. We had to find a place. We found an apartment. We didn't have the money. It all worked out miraculously. That was in April. In May, we didn't have money again because I started working May 8th. I didn't have money for May's rent. And Lisa's in the shower thinking, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? And I don't know if she told the story, but she said God laughed at her. Not in a mean way, but kind of laughing. Man, would I have supplied last month and not take care of this month? Amen. So we need to remember, stay focused on the things of God. Stay focused on what God's saying. Abide in him. There's a reason Jesus said abide in me, because if he didn't tell us, it's not something that we naturally do. We have to make ourselves do it. So the devil is trying to get us to focus on all the reasons why something won't work or why it's not happening or whatever, whatever. And that's so that we lose sight of the purpose and the vision that God's given us. But when we focus on God and we focus on the vision He's given us, we'll say there's got to be provision here somewhere. There's got to be an answer somewhere. Because when you get a vision from God, the devil will try to stop it. And he does it through your thoughts. That's why Apostle Paul said, meditate on these things. That's dealing with thoughts, isn't it? He didn't say, get a million man intercessory army and bombard the gates of hell and bombard the gates of heaven. Sometimes you talk to some Christians and say, hey, how's it going? Oh, just charging the gates of hell. Really? Are you sure? You look way, you know. Let me just say it this way. If something really was accomplished in the spirit realm, I think I said this before, you'll see it in the natural realm. So much stuff. Oh, we just had a powerful praise and worship service. We had prophetic praise and worship. We did warfare in the spirit. What happened? We don't know, but it was powerful. Nonsense. We just tore down the enemy, the stronghold over whatever. Really? I've seen that happen so often. I've seen intercessors take credit for your work. They're not doing nothing. You're doing the work, but they're telling you, oh, if I wasn't praying. Now, they don't say it in those exact words, but that's what they mean. If I wasn't praying for you and doing war against the devil, you wouldn't be able to do what you do. Really? That's usually when I like to throw stuff back on them. Well, this happened, this happened, this happened. You're not doing so good. And guess what? They want to be your intercessor no more. I'm not against good intercessors, folks, but don't let nobody brag and take credit for what you're doing. A humble heart doesn't do that anyway. You see, they have a need. More than likely, they failed in some other area, and they've relegated themselves to this, and they're taking credit and feeling good about themselves because we did this, and that's why you can do what you're doing. It's what's taught. I'm not trying to make fun of anyone. I really don't, but sometimes, you know, sometimes the truth sounds like you're making fun of somebody. So we need to focus on what's coming out of our mouth. God created us in His image, and how did God create the universe? By His words, all right? There's power in words. Like I said, you can read Charles Capps' book. I've never read it. I think it's Creative Power of Words or something like that. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure there's lots of good stuff. Joyce Meyer has one. I think it's called Me and My Big Mouth. And there's all different kind of books out there. You can get them, learn more, probably learn more than I do. But I'm telling you, I've seen these things work. And I'm not going so far as some people do, and I'm not attacking anybody. But you're not going to create universes and planets with your words, okay? We couldn't handle it. Everything is in absolute agreement in God's universe. He's already created the universe. He doesn't need us to help Him. He just needs us to believe what He's saying. And we create what God is telling us by coming to agreement with Him. And how we know when we've really come into agreement with Him is by when it's coming out of our mouth, because that's what's in our heart. We have the ability to come into agreement with what God is saying to us, okay? Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? You reveal how, to the degree you are in agreement with God's word and God's plan, by what's coming out of your mouth. Does this make sense? You have a husband and wife, sometimes this happens. They're in agreement on nothing. How do they reveal it? By what they say, right? We're going to do so and so and so. Oh, no, we're not. We're going to do so and so and so. Well, since you're the man, I'll go ahead and submit. But I'm telling you, you see, and I'm not saying anything. We're supposed to submit one to another. Amen. You know, as a wife, if we have a wife that we know that loves God, then we should trust our wife's or our husband's relationship with God. Because I have news for you, and I'm sorry to tell you, sometimes God doesn't tell you everything. Sometimes God tells your mate something He didn't tell you, and you have to have faith in your mate's relationship with God. There have been times when Lisa said something, I said, okay, you know, I trust that you hear God, okay. And she's done the same thing. Does it always work out perfectly? Not always, but you know what you don't need to do? Start attacking each other. That's the devil's favorite thing. Amen. Could you imagine God appearing to Paul and he had a wife and Paul said, we're supposed to go to Macedonia. Well, okay, Paul, I don't know. But he didn't tell me, but okay, if you're the husband, okay. I'll submit to you, and guess what? They get thrown in jail. God told you, huh? Right? That's what would happen. So just because things don't work out perfectly does not mean that God didn't tell us. It just means the devil's so scared he's shooting his best shot, trying to get you to come in agreement with what he's saying so that you diffuse what God wanted to do. But did Paul and Silas do that? No, they started praising and worshiping God. About the hour of midnight, as Andrew says, God started tapping his foot. The jail broke open, and they didn't even leave. That's amazing. I would have been out of there. But they weren't worshiping God to get out. They were worshiping God because they were meditating on these things. Amen. So when we start to speak the same thing that God is saying, that's when power is released in our lives. Until that point, the power is not yet really released. We can't make God do anything that he doesn't want to do. And God will not do anything in our lives but that which we come into agreement with him. You know, it doesn't really matter how badly I want a certain type of ministry. If it's not what God has for me, it doesn't matter how many times I speak it out of my mouth. I want to be, Lord, thank you, Jesus. When Andrew goes on to be with you, I'm taking over. Thank you. I just speak it and I come. Guess what? If it isn't God, it doesn't matter how many times I say it. Doesn't matter. That's why it's not powerful when it's just your words. I'm talking about in God's realm. That's powerful. In the other realm, if we're speaking death and fear and all those other types of things. But if we're confessing that which God has not said, we're wasting our time. You can confess it 500 times, you're not going to convince God. He doesn't need to be convinced. I had one time, I had someone write to me, and they were trying to tell me how to raise support, and they never raised one penny themselves. But they're trying to tell me how to raise support. I have to get the names of all these people and go before God and pray over these people before God and call their name out to God and say, God, have them send me money. And I wrote them back and said, I don't have to do that. I don't have to convince God to meet my needs. I have to be convinced that he's already met my needs. We don't need to convince God. He needs to convince us. Amen. And I felt the anointment when I was writing that email. I did. I could tell I wasn't just speaking words. I was speaking what God was saying. Son, you don't need to do that. You need to believe what I've already taken care of it. I don't need to do no charismatic witchcraft. Oh, God, speak to Mark. He will give a this amount every month. You don't have to do that, folks. I'm going to let God tell you that part. Because then you're not disagreeing with me. Amen. Our mouth is simply the instrument that we and God use to come into agreement with what God is saying. To come into agreement with what his word is telling us and what he's speaking to our hearts. Have you ever read that verse where Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that at one time proceeded out of his mouth. No, that proceedeth out of his mouth. God's word is a current word. Amen? Jesus is Lord is not something that was true 2,000 years ago. It is alive. It is still true. Now, I'm going to give a little example so you can understand this a little bit. But when we come into agreement with what God is telling us, what is truth, right? And remember, it is really true. Faith is believing what God says is so. Faith is not believing that what might be. In God's eyes, he already has a plan for you. Ephesians 2:10, we looked at that in our first few lessons that we had. But God, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which he prepared beforehand. You don't have to come convince God. He already knows what he has for you. It's already true in his realm. But when we come into agreement with him, that's when we bring it into our realm. Amen? When we come into agreement with God and when we are speaking it forth out of our heart and our mouth is simply the vessel or the conduit from what is in our heart that flows through, right? It is not the source. It is simply the valve that releases what is in the source. If we can't speak forth out of our mouth what God is saying, then we don't yet believe it. How many of you ever felt stupid before? Oh, I don't know if I want to say that. Just hang in there. Keep meditating. Keep believing. Because there's going to come a time if you keep meditating on what is true, what is pure, what is above, it's going to come flowing out of your mouth. And that is when power is released. A simple example is Romans 10, verse 9. We all know that verse. Romans 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you confess with your mouth, right? Verse 10, for with the heart one believes into righteousness and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. But in verse 9 it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, when you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, was that when he became Lord? He was already Lord. That was when the power was released in your life and he became your Lord. Does that make sense? It wasn't when he became Lord. We didn't make him Lord. He was Lord whether we believe it or not. We can hate God with our whole heart. Won't change a thing. He's still God. You know, a lot of atheists, they have a whole system of belief because they don't want there to be a God. It don't matter. He doesn't exist because we believe. We believe because he exists. Does that make sense? So it's the same thing with your vision. Same thing with your finances. Same thing with healing. Same thing with God's plan for your marriage. We have to receive from God what He is saying through His Word and through what He speaks to our heart, and then speak it forth out of our mouth. And this same passage in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God there is rhema. It is the revealed, spoken Word of God. And it's based on this. When you've been reading this, and all of a sudden a verse just comes alive to you, that's when God spoke it to you. That's the every word that proceeds, present tense, out of the mouth of God. But don't make the mistake I've made many times. The devil will try to make you feel foolish. Say, oh, you don't have to say anything. That's kind of foolish. You sitting there speaking this forth. It hasn't happened yet. You have all these thoughts, don't you? Sometimes. The same thing happens with tongues. I remember when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Did anybody have the thought, this is stupid? I did. How can this really be something? Sounds like gibberish. But you know what? Chinese sounds like gibberish to me too, because I don't understand it. Right? But guess what? They understand each other. If you didn't understand English, it'd sound like gibberish too. But see, God understands it. The devil does not attack what he's not scared of. God speaks something to your heart, and when you start to speak it out, and all of a sudden you feel stupid, oh, what if it doesn't happen? Oh, you're losing your mind. That's only your idea. If it wasn't powerful, then why does the devil try to get you to not do it? You know, if it was really meaningless and powerless and just a bunch of foolishness and just a bunch of hyper-charismatic stuff, then the devil would be encouraging you. Do it. Do it all the time. Pray in tongues more than Paul. Go ahead. Start speaking forth what you think God's been speaking to your heart. Go ahead. Do it. Do it. Matter of fact, here's some more stuff. He doesn't do that. He attacks the whole issue of speaking forth out of your mouth what God says, because he's scared of it. He knows that when you speak what God says, power is released, and that is when something happens. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to show this. But when we speak something out of our mouth, it is not something that we come up with and something that seems like a good idea to us. It always has to be what God is telling us. And if God is saying it, we have every right in the world and in the supernatural world to speak forth what God's saying. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 1 says, and the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. They were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel 37. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but in verse 5, thus says the Lord God to these bones. See, God's telling him what to say, right? God didn't say, Ezekiel, just think of whatever you think is good. Just let it come out of your mouth, and I'll come in agreement with what you say. No, we come in agreement with what God says. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God of these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Guess what? Bones don't live. But when God says they do, they do. The whole world may say you're nothing. You're never going to amount to nothing. Your family may say that. We know who you are. Who do you think you are? We know who you are. Don't worry about what they say. But God says this is who you are. You have every reason to believe what God says and to speak it forth out of your mouth. Now, you don't have to go around telling people this, folks. You speak this before you, before God, and before the devil. You let the devil know, I am who God says I am. Who cares what I did before? But you did. Who cares? See, the devil will try to bring back memories because you remember what you did, but God doesn't. And that's very difficult. How does God not know what I remember? I don't know, but that's what he says. And so what I want to see is verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He didn't prophesy what he wasn't told. He prophesied what he was told. And guess what? Great power was released. Amen. And what God said come to pass, it's coming to pass. It has come to pass, and it is coming to pass. You need to be bold. When God tells you something, you need to speak it. The difference between those who know God and those who really don't is how they speak. When you know what God is saying, there's a boldness and a confidence. Until you start declaring what God is saying boldly and with faith, it's not going to happen. So we need to become people of God. You know, God didn't say, let there be light. Oh, hope it happened. I'm not talking about being arrogant and saying whatever comes off the top of your head, but be willing to declare what God is saying as truth. We have to become the prophet of our own lives, the prophet of God's vision that he's given you. You can't wait for anyone else to do it. You can't wait for a preacher to call you out. God's the one waiting on you. You're not waiting on God. Spend the time it takes in order for you to get the vision that God wants to give you, and then start declaring it. Declare it between you and God. Don't go around telling everyone, everybody, but declare it between you and God, and you will start to see and walk in what God's saying. Amen?